Please introduce yourself.
Okay. My name is Ellen Lee Zhao, and I have been living in San Francisco for the last 32 years. I do have two college kids, and my son is 20, and my daughter is 18, next door from the high school. They are away from me right now in college. I am also a public service worker. I am a psychiatric social worker, which means I'm a social worker, make it easier for people. And I have been for the last 13 years for public health, and I work for the government. Also that I am representing the government employees. I am a union bargaining teams. What it means, I talk to the mayor's office, I talk with the board of supervisors, and any department head that something needed to be either improved, evaluated, or changed, file grievance when we are not in agreement. I am pretty active in the community. I'm also volunteering for a few agencies to utilize my time. So that's my background. I love people. I love San Francisco. I have been fed up seeing a lot of things that is not the way that San Francisco should be. And because I have been in San Francisco for so long, I would like to see some changes. And we want the basic life, quality of life, you know, in San Francisco.
Have you ever run for public office before?
I run for union. I'm a union representative. When we run for student board, I run for student board. So when I was at college, I run for student leadership. I run for offices to represent students. So like I said, I'm a bargaining team, so I have to run for a bargaining team. I can't just be a bargaining team.
But this is definitely your first time running for mayor.
Yes, this is definitely running for a position at City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I was nominated by the San Francisco Coalition of Good Neighborhoods from all 11 districts. We have this group fight off recreational cannabis in every district. So I was nominated after Ed Lee passed away.
Mm-hmm. So as a San Franciscan, I'd like you to describe for me the neighborhood where you live.
Well, I am living at district number 9 for the last more than 20 years. Originally, I was grow up in Chinatown, where I really connected to. And I still go to Chinatown every Sunday because my church is in Chinatown. So I am very connected with the Chinese community. I am multi-dialect and I am multilingual and multicultural. I am a mom. And
how would you describe the neighborhood where you live?
District number 9, it used to be number 10, and I believe the politicians know that a lot of Chinese group together, it'll be easier for Chinese to win the election than the non-Chinese. So what they did is they chop it half between District 9 and 10, so it's harder for anyone to win if you do not have a lot of connection with different ethics, mm-hmm. Different cultures. So my district, I love Portola neighborhood.
Right around here.
Yes. We have McLaren Park, we have Palego Park, we have the Alameda Farmers Market, and I am pretty connected in the community along San Bruno Avenue, and this is my district. I have been enjoying the district so much.
So the questions that I'd like to ask around policies are going to follow topic areas. They're ones that we follow here at KALW with our beat reporters, and we're going to start with energy and the environment. So specifically around kind of micro issues with the environment of San Francisco, what is your plan to deal with San Francisco's litter problem?
Oh, you asked the right question at the right time, and the right station too. I'm in the neighborhood right here. As a social worker, I have been as a government employee, I have been driving a city car to going to different neighborhoods because I do evaluation assessment and provide care to people who are psychiatrically ill or mentally ill or not healthy. So when I go to different neighborhoods, I see our litter issue. It's bad, especially in District 6 or in busiest traffic areas like Chinatown. It's one of the area. I guess the more condensed the population and the more homeless we have and the more people are poor, they tend to more litter. It has to do with manner. It has to do with poor condition. It has to do with education. Like I personally will not put it right there, like what I see on the street.
But as mayor, what do you plan to do about it?
Well, as mayor, that we can learn from experience and we can learn from past interactions with people. The reason that we see so much poor condition that in San Francisco, it has to do with the politicians. They're not taking their responsibilities like they should. As public employees, you know, we spend so much money on cleaning every day. The DPW, they spend millions a year to clean one corner and the next day and clean the next corner and putting people out on the street. I don't think it's, number one, it's humanity, and I don't think it's a good treatment for an effective strategy to solve a homeless problem or problems that we see on the street. For example, needles. You see a lot of needles. You see a lot of human feces, animal feces in a lot of streets. On some of the area, you don't even want to go. For example, Tenderloin. You don't even want to go to some of the streets in Tenderloin because when you pass by, you kind of like feeling nauseated because of the poor condition that we experience. So as a mayor, that cleanup is not the ultimate issue, but helping people to get off streets. For example, right now, approximately that we accounted for about 17,000 homeless.
The official count is 7,500 or so, though I understand that there are actually many more over the course of the year.
Well, I would say 17,000 that I know of because we have so many mayors debate, and that's one of the numbers that was came up by Jane Kim from District Number 6. I, as a public employee, I know approximately 10,000 homeless that sleeps on the street on any given day. And our department is the one assigning people to go sleep. When you go to sleep, you have to go there before 6 o'clock.
To a shelter.
We call it a slot, a spot, a shelter. We only had maximum 3,600 space, but we don't have enough resources, public resources, to shelter all the homeless on the street. And many of the homeless, they prefer to be homeless outside than going to a shelter because all those restriction regulations, you cannot be... like bringing your dogs or cats, or if you're sick, you're not allowed, or if you don't have a good relationship, you're not allowed. So all those restrictions. I guess in order for us to clean our street to be in a functioning, cleaning way, is that we have to treat the homeless population and treat the needles and the people who are selling drugs and drug abusers and users.
So I see the problems you're bringing up with the way that the systems are right now and the way in which DPW works, the way the shelters work, but I don't see what your solution is yet.
You're asking the right procedure and the right questions. Here's what I know. Our public, if you take the total lump sum money that we spend on homeless, on street cleaning, an average homeless costs minimum $6,000 a month, a homeless in San Francisco. The question is why we still have so many dirty streets and so many homeless. The answer is when I elected as mayor, I will not allow homeless in San Francisco. I will declare there's no homeless allowed in San Francisco and put them in treatment centers and places where we can group them. If they are mentally ill, treat their mental health issues. If they are substance abuse, treat their substance abuse issues. If they are functioning, use them. Give them jobs, give them affordable housing, help them get off street. Right now, San Francisco has so many drug dealers. They pretty much dominate the street, and the police is not doing much because, number one, they're not giving a lot of authority to do so. Number two, our jail is pretty packed. And number three, our resources are limited. And number three, we have all those laws that are not protecting the people who follow the law. So as mayor, that we, I guess, the most important part is that we have to work with the state level and the federal level to get enough funding and enough personnel to hold the people who are already in office. If they're not able to do their job, if they are not able to solve the homeless problem, if they are not able to stop all those litter and all those drug abuse and those needles on the street, they should not be working for the city anymore. They should be let go and allow the people who know how to do it and had a team.
Would your plan be then to expand the use of navigation centers and create more navigation centers? Because those are what the current administration and previous administration have essentially been using to provide treatment services and shelter beds for some of the homeless population, but there aren't enough of them. Is that your idea? Because you're saying there would be no homeless in San Francisco, but you do need to have a place to put them because currently there are so many.
My observation with my assessment, because I'm a social worker, I do observation, I do assessment. When I had a problem, I ask people. So I interview so many resources of different personnel and places. So the most effective way is that we have to find out and do assessment on each homeless and find out how long they have been homeless, where are they come from, what kind of skill they have, and what kind of sickness they have, and what kind of medication are they on, and what kind of drug abuse they have.
Treat them as individuals.
Then treat them as individuals. Here's the plan that I have, because I work with the other plan. I used to work with delinquent kids. It's called home-based treatment. In San Francisco, we have a lot of single rooms and single homes from different loving families, especially the faith-based community, especially the foster care parents. They are willing to take a stand and help people who are lost. When I say lost means they're on drug, they are on substance abuse, they're pretty much waiting to be overdosed and dead.
There's always a shortage of foster families, though, too.
Well, this is different foster family and a different type of function. This is called home-based treatment. If you open a center, like, for example, a couple of months ago, we had a new center. It only housed 54 beds for who are people who are severely ill. But it costs like $50 million. You're talking about an average cost like $10,000 a person a month. We do not have to spend that much money when we have home-based treatment. For example, if I find out that we have 10,000 homeless who are not capable of living on their own, but they need a mentor, they need a healthy place, then we can look for families who are willing, who have heart to take care of them at the same time, like a job, take care of them temporarily, and train this homeless to be recovered from their former state before they become homeless. A lot of people who are homeless on the street I spoke to, they were very talented people. They're intelligent people, and they were functioning people. It's just because the drug had taking away their livelihood. And that we can do, because we do not want to have the homeless depend on the government. I want to help them once for all to be independent, to become the person that they used to be. That's what I want to do. So when we spend the money in the first maybe half year, a year or so, and when they become functioning steadily, and then our homeless population will be controlled.
We're speaking with Ellen Lee Zhao. She's a candidate for mayor of San Francisco. What do you think would be the best way to address San Francisco's housing affordability crisis?
Well, we ask the right person. I am very active in the community, and the housing crisis, in my opinion and my experience with the San Francisco population, it's created by unfair housing policies. San Francisco used to be a pretty friendly city, but because of inexperience or irresponsible electoral officers, that they created unfair housing policies that they took away the landlord's right. And for example, Jane Kim's 2.0 housing policy, that you can have as many as roommate that you want, and you're not allowed to raise rent, and you don't have to know who they are, that pretty much it's a liability issue for landlords, and it's not a safe issue if you own a place and you don't even know who lives in your place. So from there, it killed a lot of housing. My understanding right now, affordable housing that is not affordable anymore, a couple areas. So number one, when Ed Lee was mayor, that he invited a lot of developers to develop the housing that is not affordable for teachers and workers and local people. And even they make 55,000 to about 90,000 a year, but it's not affordable for them because it's too expensive. That is the mistake that Adley made. Okay. Number two, a lot of those unfair housing policy that is created, so when the owners, the small property owners, the landlords, they withdraw their housing from the market, immediately that we have a lot of empty space, but they refuse to rent it out. My understanding, we had more than 40,000 to about 50,000 empty apartments in San Francisco. So in order for us to be functioning, to help the people, the affordable housing and the housing crisis, so a couple areas that I'm looking at. So number one, when I'm elected as mayor, I want to immediately create a mediation unit to help all the landlords who the housing is empty and they refuse to run it right now, immediately release to this agency to help the people, especially the teachers, nurse, doctors, local people, and anybody who are in the middle income range to help these people, because these people are working hard, but they are not afford to pay the housing, number one. Number two.
Just to be clear on what that point is, you're saying that you want to work with the landlords to free up these vacant apartments for public service providers.
Yes.
How do you convince landlords to do that? Are you going to subsidize the rent for these public service providers?
Well, we have to find out how many available and how many who are willing to give out their empty unit. We have to.
Well, probably zero right now because they keep them vacant.
Well, because we have those lawsuits that keep targeting people. I would not run it out if I am sued, but for no reason.
Right.
Because of those.
I don't think you have the power to change the law, though.
Yes. We can, I believe as a mayor and as a board of supervisors, we can create laws that to protect people if they want to run a place.
Protect the landlords.
Both, the tenants and the landlords. It's a middle-aged person. It's a mediation mm-hmm. agent. Mm-hmm. If people want to run a place, they can put their name and fill out a form and how much they can afford, what kind of the place they want. At the same time, the other hand, then we have this availability that we tell them you will not be sued. You have to guarantee there's no lawsuit. Because when you start something, it's always give and take. Right now, because people keep suing the small property owners, people get fed up and the money is not important sometimes, but the house and your health is important.
So you would try to work to create less of a litigious renter and landlord relationship as mayor. You would advocate for that and work for legislation that would make it less litigious.
Yes. The point I want to make is that I wanted to create fair housing policy so the owners will not fear about being sued and the tenants will not be scammed by all those unaffordable prices. Once upon a time, San Francisco was a good living affordable city until Mayor Ed Lee invited all those IT companies and high-tech companies came in and without an expectation of housing availability and create this crisis.
I would agree that exacerbated it, but the affordability crisis predated that, I would say for sure.
Well, that's only one area. The other area is that because we are a sanctuary city and then you kind of invited people to come because we'll protect you, whether you're a bad person, whether you're a felon, whether you're a criminal, whether you're undocumented, or just come to San Francisco, we'll help you. That is the wrong message. That's the area I want to change. I will not allow criminals to shelter in San Francisco. Our sanctuary city will not protect that.
Well, let's get into that a little bit. San Francisco is one of the few cities that designates resources and public defenders towards legal aid for undocumented immigrants. Would you change how the funds and personnel are directed towards these efforts?
Yes, absolutely. As a mayor, I have to be fair to those people who follow law and order. I should be rewarding the good behavior and punish the bad behavior. That's what law and order means.
What do you define as bad behavior when it comes to undocumented immigration?
From my understanding, in United States, we have 12 million undocumented people.
I've heard that number too.
And 2.3 are illegally undocumented with criminal records. We do not want to shelter in San Francisco. Anybody, it doesn't have to be undocumented. Anybody who with a criminal record should not be allowed freely on the street. Otherwise, you will continue to see our crime expand, our crime rise, and you will see all those car break-ins.
Well, it's, I think that the, you know, the city currently would agree with you that they don't want to have people who are likely to commit crimes, say, going without any kind of consequence as far as undocumented immigration goes. So I think that the sticking point is, how do you determine who those people are? And then would you then direct your law enforcement to cooperate with federal agents to try to find those people? Because currently, obviously, the federal perspective on this is different from state and different from local.
Yes. My understanding, the federal have encountered many of the undocumented people who are having criminal records. These people, we, the city, should give up. We should not protect these people. Number one, it wastes our public dollars. Number two, it put our public at risk. As a mayor, we should not protect any felons or FBI most wanted criminals. When the federal come in, we should give them up, number one. Number two, anybody who are criminal that we and undocumented, we do not, we should not waste our public dollars to help those criminals and give it up, just let the federal take care of them. It's very simple. Our United States is pretty known for having a good heart and, you know, taking care of people. But when people, especially the drug dealers and a lot of people coming into America, take advantage of the resources, it's time to say no and it's time to stand up. I mean, I myself, it's an immigrant. I follow the law. I waited. I did fingerprint. I complete all the forms. I did physical checkup and everything before I came in. But you're talking about anybody who come in, come in here, excuse me, and dry up all the resources. Think about how much money the government has to put up with one person. If the person come into the United States, even though you get deported the next day, it's spent $15,000 a person. If anybody who are under 18 years old, especially the minor with no parents, accompany them, then it costs approximately $8,500 a month, minor.
I don't know if these numbers are accurate.
Well, those numbers you calculate for court costs, school education, Medicare, foster care, and anything that related, that's include a social worker who work with them, because you have CPS, Child Protective Services laws that is mandated. So I believe the federal has released some of those figures out. An average immigrant that costs the United States approximately $85,000 a year for an undocumented immigrant. For example, last year, 2017, we have a huge case about that guy who has been deported five times, came in here and killed, I forgot his name.
Zarate.
No, it's Steiner.
Steinle was the person who was killed, and Zarate, Garcia Zarate.
Yes,
was
the, that's what I'm talking about. Accused. The San Francisco public defender spent $20 million on that defendant in this case. We should not waste that money, okay? First of all.
Yet I'm not sure if that number is accurate.
Well, I believe either $20 million or $14 million, some million dollars that our San Franciscan, the taxpayer money, paid for something we should not be getting involved in.
Because you think
the first place.
That he should have just been handed over to.
Yes.
Right. By
because
sheriff.
It's five different times. Why should we shelter a criminal who has so many records and who are not capable of function and who is at risk for our public and spend our public dollar? You have to think about who are hardworking people, local residents who pay into the system. You're talking
Would
about
you be
rewarding.
Concerned then about. giving up or rounding up people who are actually law-abiding, but they've done something in the past that gives them a criminal record?
As a public representative, especially a mayor, that has nothing to do with a good immigrant or a bad immigrant. If they're illegal, means illegal. Because illegal
means... If they're
means
undocumented.
Undocumented means illegal. Because you're coming in here taking on resources. Look, I'm an immigrant. I do not like people keep saying immigrant, because when I go to City Hall for one of the public hearings, they say, we're going to protect all immigrants. Excuse me. You're talking about people who obey the law and people who violate the law. So
simply by the nature of being here without going through the process.
That's right. But if you have people just come in here for the purpose of working and they're, okay, there's different forms of immigrants. People come in here
Which would, I mean, by that definition, you would want to deport all 12 million or however many undocumented immigrants there are, right?
My, as a social worker, I am a family social worker. For the people, especially the people, the second generation, when their parents came in with a visa or a contract to do farming, to do low labor work, and then they decide to stay here, and then they have kids, and those are called innocent. We should help them and work with the federal government and give them a green card, a permanent status, instead of allowing the politician abuse them, keep using the number, keep fighting. There's no need to fight. You just have to talk to the federal law. So look, these people are pretty good people. Can you help them? Just like whatever the DACA they're doing. Once you get it done and it's once for all. But the message for the international, for the whole world, United States, it's not welcome any illegal undocumented. That's the message we should have. Otherwise, people are saying, oh, just coming over. We'll protect you. We'll give you resources.
So I know of the 8 mayoral candidates who are running this year that only one is declared a Republican, but it sounds like some of your philosophies on these are following the Republican platform. Do you identify as Republican or no?
I am a nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan.
I used to be a Democrat, then I see they're so crazy, and I used to be a Republican, and at work a lot of people giving me a hard time because I said I'm a Republican, and then I said forget about it. So
it's
I changed to nonpartisan.
It's difficult to be a Republican in San Francisco.
That's
there's
right.
Not a lot.
So I am a nonpartisan running as mayor, and actually, we have nine candidates. One of them is new and a write-in. Maybe the name is not in the ballot.
Then well, anybody could be a write-in.
That's right. But here's what I've been through. As one of the 8 mayor candidates that I'm legally bided and officially qualified, since January 9th, I was not allowed and not invited to many of the mayor debates and many of the mayor forum. It's because all those election corruption. One of the duty I want to do as mayor, the first thing I want to do, I will set up an anti-corruption unit and run by non-government employees who are retired and who had a heart and going to trace down all this corrupted behavior and get the money back.
What would their focus be? Because there could be corruption at all kinds of different levels of government in all kinds of different ways. Would it have a particular focus or would it just be a blanket?
Money. Many of our public dollars spend that nobody evaluated books.
So you'd want to audit the government.
I wanted to, no, a couple areas. I want people who know the government function come to City Hall the next day when I am elected. Come and work with me at BNI for me, and I want a third party to audit all government books, to hold them accountable. So for those people who did it wrong or who violated the law, allow them to go and get out of there and get the money back. I worked for the government for more than 13 years. I worked for the union. I kind of know how they cook the boat.
So would you fire people who were working in departments or the leaders of departments that you found that the books were not balancing?
As a rule of thumb, the government is, if as a mayor, I do not want to fire people because that's not a good start. I would look at the situation. I say, hey, I understand that your department supposed to have 100 workers to do the job, but I realize for the last 3 years, you always had 70 or 80 workers. That means the other money that has been cooked vanish or disappear and nobody ask. That I know because I worked with the government long enough. I was a civic grand jury for 2 terms. I investigate government functions and government corruption, and I have firsthand experience. That's number one. As a mayor, I want to do anti-government corruption unit to fight off government corruption and take the money back and give it to the people at the right place at the right time so people can have more resources, public resources like daycare center for children, senior center for seniors, recreational places for youth, or anybody who want to enjoy something that is meant to be recreational. But right now, we have a lot of dollar that is not accountable for. That's number one thing I want to do. And number two, as a mayor, I want to set up fair housing to release all those empty units to help the people who are locally needed and evaluate those people who are live longer in San Francisco have priority and housing them. And at the same time, I will not welcome any developer and come in develop housing that is not affordable to our city for right now. We have to take care of our local people first in order for us to continue to welcome the other people.
That's a nuanced point, though. What would you define as affordable? And obviously, different people have different percentages. And there was recently the Affordable Housing Bonus Program that was put in to change zoning regulations depending on affordability. So what more specifically do you mean as far as
when I say affordable housing, I used to be an affordable housing Section A manager before I worked for the city. So affordable means any income you have is no more than 35%. That acceptable.
That's how much you pay.
Yes. So if you make $3,000, you should not be paying $1,000 more for your rent in order for you to live a comfortable, a fair life. Because right now, our welfare system attracts people just trapped on welfare because of unfair.
I understand that, but
stuff.
I'm just saying, like, you say that you would require developers to provide affordable housing. Like, at what level? Like, would you say developers can only build if they make housing with 30% affordable housing, or would you change zoning? Would you work within the processes that are currently going on to try to develop affordable housing, or would you say, look, developers, you must provide 50% affordable housing or 100%, whatever you're thinking?
My thinking is that I've said it clear. In order for the city to address housing crisis in San Francisco, we have to go different venues. Stop the sanctuary law for felons and no criminals to be allowed, number one.
Which would reduce population. So.
That's right. Number two, no developers develop housing that is not affordable. I mean 30% of people's income. If they're not willing to do so, we, the city, can have state money and federal money to build our own housing, to give it to people who are likely to live and work in the city. Right now, we are very chaotic. We are not having a city that people like to sleep, to stay. We have all those problems because we don't have fair regulations to treat people. Mm-hmm. The richer get richer, the poor get poor.
We're speaking with Ellen Lee Zhao. She's a candidate for mayor of San Francisco. Speaking of regulations, one of the big issues these days is about ride-hailing companies like Uber and Lyft. Would you do something to regulate those, or do you think that they're okay?
Well, you should think about who own those companies and how do they get to San Francisco with no tax, no revenues for the city. Something is not right about the picture. If you talk about corruption, if you talk about government corruption, this is one of the areas that for people, this is the thing about what I said. If
like what
anybody,
Mayor Lee did to try to draw tech companies to Mid-Market Street, for example.
The point I want to make, anybody who come to do business in San Francisco should pay tax. Because we repair the road, we provide services, we have all those public services people come and enjoy. If people, anybody who come to San Francisco and do business with no tax incentive for the residents or for the government, we should not welcome any business.
So you would eliminate any business tax reductions for businesses coming into San Francisco?
No, that's not what it means. I mean, anybody who come to San Francisco and do business, they should be paying their fair tax. So this way, that the people who are living in here can have a share of what they do. Accordingly, Lyft and Uber, when they came in, we have a lot of unexpected traffic. We have a lot of easy operated business for anyone. Anyone, you and I can become a driver the next day. There's no live scan, there's no fingerprint that put our public at risk. And the income they make is not given to us, the public. And the driver, whoever the driver, you don't even know because we don't have a record of it. I guess the regular, the old traditional taxi, a lot of people pay the medallion.
Yes, medallion, yeah.
A quarter million, and mm-hmm. still people are paying for the payment. You have to think about...
And those are worth much, much less now, and so all these people are stuck with them.
You don't need that anymore. If you have Uber and Lyft, all you need to do a car and able to run and have insurance, and
right.
you're ready to go.
Yeah.
And which, as a mayor, we should not support business, any business from here on with our plan, with our how a fair share that the public can be benefit.
So Mayor Lee was working with ride-hailing companies to establish more loading locations, for example. Do you plan to continue to set up that program?
I am not a politician. I'm a social worker. In order for me to answer that question, I have to see the true book, how they operate, when they operate, and how much they operate, and how much impact they have in order to look for an engineer. You need an engineer to calculate all those traffics and everything else. I am not able to answer the question because I'm not a mayor right now. I am a social worker, but I am in the right direction. As a mayor, you don't have to know everything to be a mayor. You just have to know the right people, know the right job, and how to evaluate the situation and be a people person and love people, give people hope, give people love. And that's what I'm here for as a mayor.
Well, as a citizen of San Francisco, what do you think about public transportation here? What public transportation projects would you support?
Well, I have traveled to many, many countries and many cities. Compared to San Francisco, our transportation is pretty poor. We are not advanced. Our bus is not the newest one, a newest high-tech one. Our bus is a lot of times, if you go to
I've seen some new buses and trains.
Well,
but
if you compare,
not the whole fleet.
Right? If you compare to other events, I'm talking about a top, like classic city. San Francisco is pretty classic, a tourist area. But compared to other people, San Francisco is pretty poor. It's not up to date.
What would you do to improve that?
Well, we have to find out how much money we have for each area that we wanted to spend on, and how we can improve and collaborate with private and public. See, right now, our public transportation is not the best transportation that we have. They're late, they're filthy, they're dirty, and the service itself is not the best services we have. For example, when I travel to Hong Kong, and you will see everything is a little different. They are so busy. They have like six times population, eight times population than San Francisco. But yet, everything is kind of in order and follow. And we can learn from advanced cities, like Hong Kong is one. San Francisco, we need more advanced technology, lighter commute. Because right now, we have all those long buses and take forever. And the stops, it's like so frequent.
So that people can access it.
Yeah, for the disabled people. I understand that. But you're talking about if you and I want to ride a bus to go to work, you do not have to stop every stop. If you kind of calculate that, you can have different stops.
So there are some buses. I mean, there was a Muni assessment to see what routes were important to keep and which ones should be adjusted. They have some express buses. You know, I mean, there's a variety.
Yes. I was one of the public hearing about how Muni can improve. I guess a lot of people talking about condense, like it's not on time. A lot of homeless sleep in there, urine, feces, maybe drugs and needles in Muni buses. You're talking about how we can improve. It's like we have to sit down and talk to the drivers, the access. You know, a lot of times the department here, as a mayor, I want to change something that you should be proud of what I've been thinking.
Listening.
You know, San Francisco public employees, we had approximately 30,000 employees for the whole entire city. Every year we have...
I think there's more than that.
No. About 30,000 public employees. Don't talk about contractors or Unify. I'm talking about city and county employees. That is include all the clinics, public health, DPH, human services, police, and fire department. We have 60 departments. 60 of them, departments. So I have talked to so many employees and they said, Ellen, if you want to be a true mayor, do something to help everybody in San Francisco. So here's what we should do. As a mayor, I will reverse the evaluation for all supervisors and managers, which means currently only managers and supervisors and departments evaluate the employees. So when I become a mayor, I will have all the employees evaluate everybody who they supervise, who they are under supervisors for. So this way, our public dollar will be at work. So let's say if I have 100 people and saying this supervisor is no good, obviously, and maybe corrupted, and maybe bribe, and maybe extorted people, let them go. I will report it to the police.
Based upon the evaluations of their employees.
Yes.
That's an interesting idea.
No, it's an effective idea. It's a must idea in order for the public to see changes.
Have you seen that elsewhere?
Oh, that I don't know, but I know it's an effective way. I know it happens in public-private places because you ask people. Like if I'm a boss, then I talk to them, say, hey, how's the manager? Then I'll know the people. You understand that we access all the public employee has equal opportunities. But right now, some of the department head, they abuse their position, extort people, harass people, intimidate people and bully people. And that, if people can put it out and evaluate them, and that's what we need to do.
I'm sure that they would have means of some sort within the city to provide an evaluation or if you're a complaint that could be reported upon.
As a city government employee and a union bargaining team member, I've dealt with so many complaints, employee, and management. Here's what I learned, and the audience and the people in San Francisco. Currently, our city government is very corrupted. And I'm the only one saying that because I know enough to say it.
Of the candidates?
No, not the candidates.
I hear a lot of people say that the city's corrupt.
The city government is well-known pay-to-play. Think about all the 8 candidates we have. Who are the candidates having so much matching fund and so much super PAC, so much money that has flooded to them? You pay attention to these people. This election is special. It's only good for a year and a half. So whoever become a mayor next June, you have to run for office, and by November, you're going to be elected again. Think about why would people pay $5 million to get into office and you only have so little money?
Because the incumbent has a better chance of winning.
That's not it. As a public employee, I'm just sharing with you and the audience. The people in San Francisco, especially some of the people representing the government, the department heads, and some of the board of supervisors, to me, they are no different than criminals when we go to court. They are not representing the people's interests. They are representing themselves and what they wanted for themselves. I said that because I was fighting a public hearing in 2017. We, a bunch of residents from 11 districts, from different communities, we had a coalition. It's called San Francisco Coalition of Good Neighborhoods. I was nominated by this group to run for mayor, and we have enough of the witnesses about government corruption right in front of us. And we said, enough.
Do you have enough proof? Are you thinking about, you know, filing some sort of a court case?
I do not have to file court cases. Everything that we run to in public hearing, it's pretty much recorded for public television.
But if you don't see anything being done about it, then is that level of corruption, if you have proof of it, is that something you plan to pursue?
Okay, maybe the question is, how are you going to fight off corruption when you have layers of corruption protecting layers of corruption? You tell me about. For example, right now, our election, we are running for special election, 8 mayor candidates. From the beginning until now, majority of the public forums and debates, they keep saying there's only four mayor candidates. That is misleading the voters. And they spend so much money just to do that. They purposely do it with the media, with the press, with the TV, with all those forums going on.
Do you call that corruption?
It's corruption. Because we have 8 people. If you want to invite something, you invite all 8 people. Or if you want to invite 4 people, then you say we have 8 candidates.
There have been elections in San Francisco for mayor where there have been 16 candidates. I mean, how many candidates can you ultimately have on a stage? And it doesn't take that much to become a candidate. Like, how much did it take for you to become a candidate, for example? Is it $5,000
To be a mayor candidate, you have to be 18 years old, you have to be mentally healthy, and you don't have a lot of problems, and you do not have a criminal record, and $6,500.
So that's
$6,500.
That's not that much of a barrier.
That's right.
So there's a lot of people who could become candidates. At some point, I think that the media and different organizations say, we need to draw a line because there could be well over a dozen candidates, and then you have to actually get the information. And that's why I think you end up having debates with just the top 4 vote-getters or likely vote-getters, which can be frustrating, obviously, for one of the other candidates, such as yourself.
I
don't know that that's corruption.
It is corruption. Let me tell you why it's corruption. If we have 26 people apply for mayor to be a mayor candidate, and we only have 8 people qualify, from day one, from day one, all the super PAC and then the people who are organizing it, they always invite only 4 people. And they keep saying those are top four. How you begin top four when you do not invite anybody? So after their forums or debates, and they always interview people. Oh, what do you think about? And they pick the 4. And they always say this 4. So it is corruption. Whether people like what I hear or like what I said, this is exactly election corruption. If people are purposely invite only 4 people and continue to invite people and telling people and interview people, how are they evaluate the 4 people? And telling the public we only have 4 people, that is misleading the voter, misleading the public, and that is not acceptable.
I hear what you're saying. Well, we're speaking with Ellen Lee Zhao. She's a candidate for mayor of San Francisco. So I'd like to go to what we call a lightning round of questions. And so these are questions I'll ask. I want either a one-word answer or just a couple words or a very short phrase, just a short answer.
Okay.
So these will come fairly rapidly. What do you think about legalized adult use recreational marijuana? Good or bad?
Very bad. I'm 100% against it. I am a mental health worker, and that was exactly what I was fighting at City Hall. No.
What do you think about charter schools versus conventional schools?
Oh, I love charter school. Charter school is one of the best way for parents to pick and choose.
The Golden State Warriors coming to San Francisco.
Well, it's good for the fans of Warriors, but it's not good for the city due to congestion, and we are not much benefit for it. It's the benefit for the owner of the team, but not the benefit of residents and the benefit of the city.
Development in Soma and Mission Bay.
That is a must for people because that place has been empty for so long, and we are ready and we should be, but before we develop, we should see the sea level because that's pretty dangerous in that area.
The Central Subway.
Well, it should be done 2 years ago. It has been effective, impacting so many businesses, and they lost their business. A lot of empty space has been created because of the Central Subway. The Central Subway has to do with government corruption. That's exactly what I mean. The money spent in there, the work has not been done, and nobody's accountable. I believe the government should start with a beat, a healthy beat, at least minimum of beat. When they do not finish on time, they should be fined and take them to court and have the money back and pay for the people. And Central Subway has been a problem for many people.
What do you think about how Mid-Market Street changed during the Lee administration?
Very bad. I am from the Lee family. Ed Lee's parents is from the place where I come from. Hmm. When I see Ed Lee, I call him cousin. I say, Cousin Lee. Well, because we're from the Lee family. Zhao is my husband's last name. I was on the other side of the table. He always develops things in a way that is good for people with money. I am a social worker and advocate for people who are low income, who are poor, who are on welfare, and who are barely make it. I am dealing with vulnerable population. So in order for us to be function and fair for everybody, we should, from now on, we welcome people who had a heart for people, all people, not just rich people.
Electric scooters.
Oh, that is a problem. I mean, to me, that's a litter. That's a problem for litter. You can't just buy stuff and abandon in any places. The government should take all those in there, impound it, and find them.
This is something I found on your website. What do you think about the mayor's salary?
Well, I believe the mayor's salary is $330,000. I have made a pledge. I will give back 50% of that money, and I will create a community corner in every neighborhood to invite people who are retired, who had heart, and who want to maintain a good San Francisco spirits to fight off government corruption. In order for me to be a mayor, you understand I'm not a politician. I am a social worker. I'm a mom. I am a longtime resident. I have a heart for people. And I have seen enough government corruption. In order for me as a mayor, a new person to come into office, I have to have outside people to help me, to keep an eye for me so I can bust those people and take away their power. And remove them.
I mean, there's already people who represent these districts as supervisors.
Oh, the supervisor and the mayors go hand to hand with legislations. When I say I work with different neighborhoods to keep an eye for me, it's for their own good. I plan to train and develop people's skills, how to work with government. For example, the board of supervisors, they always have meetings. But none of the neighborhood will inform The mandate reported was not there. Here's what happened. San Francisco is mandated for 6 languages. They never inform people. When we are fighting for no recreational cannabis, you know what they do? They purposely do not inform the people who are 1,000 feet near the, you know, the area.
In the right language, you're saying. I mean, I've certainly seen plenty of posts about different public hearings and things like that.
That's not what I know. I'm talking about we were not informed. Many people were not informed when I was fighting at City Hall as a government employee, fighting with the electoral office, with all the board of supervisors and Mayor Ed Lee. I questioned them. I said, wait a minute. You did not put out those notices in Chinese, Russian, Vietnamese, Tagalog, and Spanish. Why? They said, we don't have money. Then your job is to find money and get the money and do the right thing because it's a law.
So shorter answers. What do you think about the experience of running for mayor?
Oh, well, first of all, I'm really thankful that I was nominated by the San Francisco Coalition of Good Neighborhoods. And number one. Number two, I'm really supported by my families and I'm really supported by my community. And that's one thing I'm thankful for. But as a candidate who have been bullied, I've said it earlier, I have been bullied by the people who purposely did not invite me to mayor's candidate and forums, and they said there's only 4 people running for mayor. That really pissed me off. I am a fighter, okay? I'm an advocate for people.
What do you hate most about San Francisco?
Government corruption. I definitely hate it.
What do you love most about San Francisco?
Oh, diversity. I love the culture that we have. You don't have to go travel to the world. If you stay in San Francisco, you have all kind of culture that we want to see. Food, culture, clothing, travel, or anything, you name it. We have it. I love San Francisco. I mean, my heart is in here. I think I will die in San Francisco. That's the only place that I live.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.